Tonight we're looking at the subject of money, and the question is, it's a thorny issue, but the question is, what can't money buy? Certain things money cannot buy, and I want to address that from the Bible. And we're going to read a short passage, just two verses from Mark's Gospel and chapter 8. I want to read the words of the Lord Jesus. If you have a Bible and want to follow the reading, or maybe you want to listen, it is Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, please. These are the very solemn words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 36 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. The Lord Jesus says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We'll read these verses again. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now that is a reading from the Bible tonight. It's a very important part of the meeting. And we do look to the Lord for his blessing upon what we have read. With regards to the subject of money and what the Bible says about it, we really could have been here for quite a long time reading all the verses from the Bible. Because money and what it can and cannot buy and what it can provide is not a new subject. Money is absolutely essential to live on a day-to-day basis. And from the youngest child looking for their pocket money as they get a wee bit older until we are maybe in the responsibility of paying for bills and things like that, money is essential. It's very important, and it is very, very essential that we learn that to pay our way, we have to work and we have to earn a living. But money is not all important, and money can be a great snare to people. And sadly, people who believe that money is everything and making money is the number one objective in life, people like that normally are very disappointed. Do you know why? Because the Bible says, "He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver." Well, I say that again. God says in his word that the person, the individual that loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Some of you younger ones were here at the children's meeting tonight and were thinking of the man called Zacchaeus. And you know, he was a tax collector who had a good job and earned lots of money by fair or foul means. But he was not totally fulfilled. He was not totally satisfied with all the money that he could earn, because the Bible does say in another place that the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. And although the dominant desire of the human heart is to want more, well, it's like that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's elusive and it's unobtainable. I remember going a few occasions, I'll not tell you any lies, maybe a handful of occasions I have gone to do the shopping. And when I was there, on one occasion, I remember speaking to this girl whose older brother had been at school with me. And the next time I was in, I looked round for the same girl, but she wasn't there in our local Tesco's. And I said to the person behind the till, I said, "Where is Lisa? Where is Lisa?" And she says, "Oh, have you not heard? Lisa has won the lottery." Therefore, she was called Lotto Lisa from then on. She had won the big prize, and she'll never be in Tesco again. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember how much she won. It doesn't matter. Where is Lisa tonight? Lisa is very, very discouraged and very disappointed with the way things have turned out in life. Lisa is bankrupt and she bemoans, curses the day
she ever won the lottery.
You see, money is not the answer to true satisfaction. And money brings a snare. In fact, the Bible says that the love of money, the desire for money, is the root of all evil. So it's not the answer to true satisfaction. And I suppose when you listen to the media, when you listen to what is being fed to people in the media today, it is one big message of greed is good and gold is the god of the age. And over the years, that has been the loud message that has been poured into our ears. And yet heaven's values are far different from that. Money can buy you a lot of things, but it can't buy you true satisfaction. Money can buy you amusement and entertainment, but it can't buy you happiness. Money can buy you, for instance, food, but it can't buy you an appetite. Money can buy you a bed, a very comfortable bed. It can't buy you sleep. And our verse from the lips of the Lord Jesus is very searching. What if you were to gain the whole world, but then lose your own soul? What profit would it be? What profit would it be? And what we are learning in this gospel meeting, I trust this evening, that the greatest source of satisfaction is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. To know eternal life. To know the riches of God's grace. It might not change your bank balance, but I'll tell you, it'll change your whole life and destiny when you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. No, the Lord Jesus, the maker and sustainer of this mighty universe, he said one day that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Where we live, in the western part of the world, we have become very materialistic and very money orientated. And yet the truth is this, that we're going to leave everything behind us. We can't take our possessions and our money with us. There's an old man who I know very well, a Christian man. And he said to me one day, he put it very succinctly. There was a rich man, a landowner, a rich farmer he was, who lived a few miles away from him. And he said to me the day of his funeral, I did not see a tow bar on the hearse that was carrying his coffin. What was he meaning? He brought nothing into the world, and you can take nothing out of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain, because it's absolutely true. Naked we came into the world, and that's the way we'll go out. We can't take our possessions with us. And if you're relying on riches tonight, if you're relying on possessions, if you're relying on the world with all its trivialities and entertainments and sin, if that's what makes you tick, if that's what motivates you from day to day, you're in for the greatest shock imaginable when you find out you're not here forever. And depending on what you do with Jesus Christ here and now will determine where you will be 5 seconds after you die. And the world is not going to be your home forever. And the whole purpose of being in the world, the whole purpose of life, is to get to know true satisfaction with our God and true salvation through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and true happiness and true peace and true love. Now, I want to ask you tonight, what have you got? Have you got riches and temporary satisfaction? Or have you got true satisfaction and true peace and true joy? The Lord Jesus told a story one day about a man. You find the story in Luke chapter 12. And the man is called the farmer, a rich farmer who became a rich fool. Well, he became a fool. He wasn't rich at the end of the story. And in Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus spoke about this man who all his plans and ambitions were centered on money. That was it. All he spoke about was his possessions, his money, his barns, his fruits. That's all he thought about. He had a tunnel vision. And then one day, he must have thought all his dreams had arrived at once. There was a bumper harvest. So much so that his old barns could not contain the fruits. And his silos were filled and overflowing. And he thought, I've made it. I've made it. Like Lisa from Tesco must have thought. I've made it. All my worries are over. And this man in Luke chapter 12 had a plan. He had a plan because the bumper harvest brought a problem. Old barns not big enough. I've got a plan. Pull down my barns. That was his plan. His business projection seemed to be very astute. He thought to himself, I'm going to live off my fruits. I've got much fruit for many years. Much increase of wealth. I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to retire. I'm going to live my life off this bumper harvest. All his dreams, all his ambitions had come on that day. But with his plan and his projection, there came an unexpected, sudden passing from time into eternity. Because the rich farmer became a fool because he had taken everything and everyone into the equation with regards to his business plan and his business projection, but he'd left God out of his life. And I fear as I speak to some people here in this very meeting that you have left God out of your life. God is not relevant. Christ the Son of God is not your Saviour, and you're living your life independent of God. You're not connected to Him. That is the tragedy of our society. That is the tragedy of our country. Thousands upon thousands and millions of people are living their life as if there's no God in heaven and as if Christ had not come from heaven to die on the cross to provide true salvation and true satisfaction. That was the story in Luke chapter 12. The farmer had plans. He had business ambitions. He had a healthy bank balance. But at the end of that day, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Do you know what one definition of a fool is? Someone whose plans end in the grave. I remember speaking to an elderly gentleman in the town of Fraserburgh in the northeast of Scotland, and he invited me into his home one day. I was giving out invitations. He invited me in for a coffee. He wanted to speak about the Bible, and I said to him, have you ever prepared to meet God? Have you ever prepared for that world to come? Because after this life is over, we go out into eternity, either to be with Christ in heaven if we are saved, or if we're lost, we go to hell. I spoke to the gentleman and he says, don't you worry about me. I've got everything provided for. I'm well prepared. Do you know what he was talking about? He was talking about an insurance policy for his funeral. He was talking about who was going to get his golf clubs and who was going to get his car. But he had no further thought beyond that. He did not think beyond this world. And is that you tonight, my friend? You come to gospel meetings. And you hear the word of God, but it's as if you are totally and utterly focused on time with no thought about eternity. A fool is someone whose plans end in the grave. And God had to say to this poor rich farmer, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And all his plans ended in the grave. And again, we think of the words of Paul to Timothy. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. All the fruits in the barns, all the bumper harvest, who would they belong to? No doubt relatives would be fighting over them, as they normally do. Where there's a will, there's relatives. And there's the problem. Money causes great deal of difficulties and problems in the heart of individual. You know, the best things in life, my friend, the best things in life, never mind heaven and eternity, come without a price tag of this world's currency. Now, I want just for a few moments this evening to speak to you tonight about three things that money cannot buy. You think, surely money can buy you happiness. I've seen those tremendous holidays that you can go on. I've seen the cars that you can buy and the mansions that you can live in. Surely regular holidays, big car, big house, surely that is the source of satisfaction and happiness. Think again. Think again. There are three things that money cannot buy. Number one, money cannot buy happiness. Number two, money cannot buy peace. And number three, money cannot buy unconditional love. Money cannot buy happiness. And happiness must be distinguished from mere amusement. Please do not think that amusement is happiness. You might like to, whatever you might do as a hobby or a sport or whatever, or entertainment, or you might be on your phone or you might be on your computer, and that is amusement, but it's not true happiness. Not deep seated happiness. The millionaire's credit card cannot provide happiness. Happiness is found in a right relationship with God. Real happiness. Maybe that's why you're not happy tonight, because you don't know God. Maybe that's why you lie awake at night knowing there's something more than what you have. True happiness is found in a right relationship with God. A man called David wrote these words, "Oh, the blessedness, oh, the happiness of the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." You see, we were made by God. We were made in His image. And we were made in His likeness after His likeness. And we have got a God-shaped void in our heart. And we'll never be truly happy. We'll never be truly satisfied until we accept God's Son to be our Saviour, to come in and to fill our life and to be complete in Him. And the big problem is we do not have a right relationship with God because we are ruined by sin. Sin has separated between us and our Maker. Sin has come in and caused a big chasm. But thankfully, that can be bridged by the person of God's Son, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him." There is one God and one mediator, one go-between, between God and men, Himself a man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This is Bible truth. This is gospel truth. That money cannot buy us happiness. Doesn't matter how many credit cards we have. Doesn't matter how much money we have. It cannot buy true happiness. But God can give true happiness to the soul who rests 100% on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. A right restored relationship with God is on offer if you repent of your sin. You repent of your lust for money. You repent of your waywardness and your sinfulness. If you turn away from this world's thinking and this world's mindset and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as the Saviour and the satisfier of your soul, you will have true happiness. You know, I used to think, when I was growing up, that the only thing that would possibly make me happy is if I was on the top of my game playing football. I love football. would have played it morning, noon and night, and many a time at school I get into big trouble for not going home after school. Just loved it. And I thought, at my happiest when my team was winning and I was playing well and I was picked for other teams, etc., etc. And all my hopes and all my ambitions, honestly, I'm embarrassed to say tonight, were focused on the game of football. Seems so trivial to admit tonight, but that was true. As a 14, 15 year old, that's all I cared about. And it's amazing how that I could be so happy on a Saturday morning when my school team won, and then Saturday afternoon another team that I supported would get beat, and that was it. Happiness only lasted for a few short hours. I was down in the depths. And my happiness was dictated to by a silly game like that. What makes you happy? What do you think makes you happy? Can I tell you, peace with God, a right relationship with God through His Son, repenting of your sin and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus, brings true happiness. It does not immunize you from the difficulties of life. It does not in any way cocoon you from trials and problems that everyone faces. But it gives you a deep, settled joy that you know that you belong to God, that Christ is your Saviour, that heaven is going to be your home. You've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and you've got a Saviour who loved you and died for you on the cross. You cannot beat God's salvation. Oh, the joy of God's salvation. Oh, the happiness of sins forgiven. To know for sure that you are not in your sins and not in condemnation, but rather with Christ. Second thing that money cannot buy you. Money cannot buy you peace. Money cannot buy you peace. It cannot purchase it. You know, you've got all these celebrities with their fame and their money, and they're in and out of these priory clinics. There's a high rate of suicide with all these celebrities. You think of them. Amy Winehouse, Gary Speed, all these people who are in the limelight, have reached the zenith of their careers, whether it's football or singing or whatever it might be, and have been chasing the dream, and when they actually think that they've caught it, they realise it's elusive and it's unfulfilling, and they don't have true peace. Peace is quite an unobtainable thing with regards to mankind, but peace can be obtained. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was speaking to a neighbour recently, and she said to me, "I just wish I had your faith, Blair. I wish I had your peace." She says, "I wish I had a good night's sleep. I wish I had your life." And I said to her, "Well, it's very possible, because 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, went to Calvary's dark cross and endured the punishment of God against sin. And He made peace by the blood of His cross." And peace can be obtained this evening. Money cannot extend your life. Money, under no circumstances, can give you peace for your guilty conscience, can give you that peace, deep settled peace that comes alone from knowing your sins are forgiven. I love the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest, peace. These are commodities that cannot be purchased. These alone come from God. alone come through Christ, he can give you peace. What else cannot be bought by money? Unconditional love cannot be bought by money. The world is crying out for it. Money or power, two things the world values, cannot buy love or order people to love you. It's impossible. But God loved us when we were unlovable. And God provided the greatest demonstration of love when he sent his Son to be this world's Saviour. Listen to the words of John chapter 3 and verse 16. We've quoted it before in these meetings. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus said of himself in John 15 verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Love, peace, true happiness cannot be purchased by money. There's three things at least that money cannot buy you, but the grace of God has provided. The Christ, the Son of God, went to Calvary and gave his life in ultimate sacrifice to provide salvation, true happiness, a right restored relationship with God, peace and contentment, forgiveness of sins. And although you might never have a lot of money, and let me say just before I go any further, the Lord Jesus Christ does not say it's a sin to have money. But if you have money to the exclusion of everything else and to the exclusion of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he says, well, what shall it profit you if you'll gain the whole world and lose your own soul? No, let me tell you this evening, it is so important to know true riches. You might never have this world's riches, but if you have Christ, you have everything. If you have money without Christ, well, you really have nothing for eternity. You might have a lot for this world, but nothing for eternity. I remember hearing a story many years ago. I think it's a true story. In America, of an old Christian gentleman, and he was a farmhand. He never had much of this world's goods. He was given a room in the farm, I think near the barn, to sleep, and he worked all his days for the same family. But as an elderly man, he was sleeping one night and he had a dream. And the dream was this, that the richest man in the valley was going to die that very night. And he was so troubled, and he thought about his employer, the landowner. Surely he must be the richest man in the valley. And old Hans, he got up from his slumber and he prayed. He got on his knees and he prayed that God would give him courage to go and tell his boss that he had had this dream and that he was really worried about him, because he knew his boss was not a Christian and had a lot of money but didn't have Christ. And he was the richest man in the valley and he was going to die. So the next day Hans plucked up the courage at lunchtime to go and tell his boss that the richest man in the valley was going to die that night. And his boss says, Hans, don't be stupid. I don't want to listen to your superstitious nonsense. You might believe in God and you might believe in Christ, but it's not for me. And the landowner, the rich man, went away home. And although he didn't want Hans to see how troubled he was absolutely trembling. And by late on in the afternoon, he'd got the doctor. His heart was racing. He was sweating. He thought, don't tell me Hans has got this right. I am going to die and I'm not right with God. But the doctor really couldn't find anything wrong with him. The man had just got himself into an awful state. But he wouldn't let the doctor go. He says, no, you must do more tests. You must sound my chest. You must find out what the problem is. I feel terrible. But then a knock came to the door. Someone said, "Old Hans has just died 10 minutes ago." And he said to the landowner, "Before he died, he said he wanted to let you know that he'd got it wrong. That it was Hans who was the richest man in the valley. And he was dying that night." The world looks on and thinks Hans didn't have a penny of this world's currency. But he had everything for eternity. He had Christ. He had salvation. He had peace with God. He knew unconditional love. Wonder what you have got. As I draw the meeting to a close this evening, what have you got? Has there ever been a moment in your life when, under the guilt and burden of your own personal sin against God, realizing you were estranged from Him, have you ever turned in repentance and trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and received the forgiveness of sins and peace with God and salvation? Someone has written, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold." Now, is that really true tonight? There's a man in the Bible, Judas Iscariot, his name is, he betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He'd rather have silver than the Lord Jesus. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh, the value of your soul. The value of it. You see, your soul will live on after your body decays and dies. And your soul will either be in heaven with Christ if you've trusted Him, or in hell without Him if you've rejected Him. Oh, the value of your soul. Oh, the vulnerability of your soul. If you leave this world without Christ, your soul will be lost. Lost. That's why the Lord Jesus would say, it is so important to understand that true happiness, true contentment, true riches are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'll find Christ this evening, even as we pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, our God, for the message of the gospel. We realise, our Father, it's without money and without price this great salvation has been purchased. Purchased with precious blood by the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And we thank Thee, Father, for His love and His willingness to give His life in ultimate sacrifice. And we long that someone for the first time this evening in this room will seek the Lord as their own Saviour and confess Him as Lord. We ask Thy blessing upon the rest of the meetings in Thy will. We think, our God, of the week is fast approaching. The end of the week is fast approaching, and we pray, our God, that before the meetings are over, that the Lord Jesus will be accepted as the Saviour of not a few. We ask these things now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.